Yes. Good morning, everyone. We are here into some real deep stuff. Okay. Today is the 30th of September, 2017. This is called a High Sabbath. Why is it called a High Sabbath? Because there's the seventh-day Sabbath, which is holy, and then on top of that, you have the Day of Atonement, which is the most sacred day in the Hebrew calendar. Now, why is it so sacred? Now, this always occurs on the 10th day of the seventh month. So we talk about month. Every month, a new month comes in with every new moon. What is a new moon? The new moon is when you don't see any moon. And then when you start to sliver, that means it disappeared. So then the new moon is when it starts. That is the new moon. So that starts, that's the end of a moon cycle and the beginning of the moon cycle. So that then it starts lightening up until it becomes full moon, and that's when you see all of it. So that's the difference. And they didn't have calendars as we have that, you know, you look and say, okay, how do I know what day it is? No, you can look in the heavens, and anybody could tell you what day it is. You just base it on when you didn't see the new moon, then you count so the next day is the first day, and you just keep counting until you got to around 29 or 30, then it would disappear again, and you would be back where you are. So around 14 days, around every 28 and a half, 29 and a half days, you would get a new moon. That's the cycle of the moon. So we were based on a lunar cycle. So the catch was that after you finish seeing the moon occur like that for seven times, that means every 29 and a half, 28 and a half days, you will see a new moon. So you will count them, and you will count them based on when the sun was in its equinox. So when you have equal day, equal night. Okay, so that would start the solar. So you have the solar year. So it would be based on when you have equal day, equal night. That's when the year would begin. And then when you had a new moon, when there was no moon in the sky, then that's when you would have your first day, and that would be called the first day of the month. So you would plan that, and that usually, the equal day, equal night, usually starts around the time of the what they call Easter or the spring, the fall, the spring equinox. Okay, so that will be somewhere around April, March, somewhere around that time. And then you would, you know, start. And also you regulated that by where you would plant. So then planting season and all of that. So all of this was governed by the heavens and governed by the nature and governed by the, that's how the calendar was regulated. So anybody could do that. So on the seventh month, when you had your seventh month, your seventh new moon after your equinox, then that would be called the seventh month. And that seventh month, it would start off with a blowing of trumpet. Every month you blow a trumpet to start it. So when you got to there, you got to the seventh month. So the seventh month would represent the seven trumpets, your seventh trumpet that was blown that year. So that would relate to the book of Revelation and the book of the seven trumpets. So this on the blowing of trumpets, which happened 10 days ago, I started my 21-day cleanse. I'll probably do more than 21 days. I think I'm going to do probably 29, 30, something like that. So anyway, you start counting down until you get to the Day of Atonement. Today is the Day of Atonement and the Sabbath. That's a very high, I don't think you can get any higher. This is the highest day of the year in the Hebrew calendar. And so you had, so on the Day of Atonement, you'll be fasting. Everybody fasts, kids, children, everybody fasts. Nobody eats because it's that serious. It's a matter of life and death. So that was the day that you confess your sins of whatever you committed this year and as you, you know, wanting to, you know, get right with the Creator, wanting to start a new leaf and, you know, all of that stuff. So at the end of that time, usually in the Old Testament, what they did was that they would offer up a blood sacrifice, and it would show all the sins that they've been committing all year. So each day that you committed a sin, that you would bring a lamb, an animal, you would kill it, because you have to kill it so that the blood, and then before you kill it, you confess your sins over the animal. You put your hand on it. And so the sins were transferred from you to the animal. Then when you killed the animal, which would sometimes be a lamb, that would be the best one. And once you killed the lamb, okay, then you would, then the priest would take the blood, not you. The priest would take the blood, because the blood is the life of the animal, of everybody. And so the sins were transferred to the blood, then it would be put on the priest, and then it would be taken from off the priest, then it would be put on the, put in the sanctuary. Okay, so it would accumulate all year long, so be in the sanctuary. So each year they would have to cleanse the sanctuary of all the sins of Israel. All that the people of Yahweh has committed that year are in the sanctuary. So we're supposed to get rid of it. So what we wind up doing is on that particular day, on the Day of Atonement, that's why everybody's praying and fasting, so that their sins could be removed from Israel as a collective group. And so the priest would go in, and if the priest wasn't right, he would get struck down by the Shekinah glory. So that's what would go in. You would go in, and they had a rope around the waist of the priest, just in case he died, they can go and pull him out, because nobody will be able to go in. Okay, and they would have also incense that would be up there, so that, you know, it would be a very smoky room, so that you couldn't see much. So, because that was, that's what was happening. And if you go to the book of Luke, you see Zechariah, he's in the temple during that time doing that. He's lighting the incense. And so on that, so now that everyone's finished praying and they offered up all the sacrifices, then they would take a goat and put the sins of all the congregation on this goat and send him out into the wilderness so that he could wander forever, holding the sins of the people of Yahweh. And so at the end of the day, that, because it'd take a long day for all of these things to be happening, and at the end of the day, then when the sun would set, then you could say to one another, may your name be written in the book of life. That's what they say today. That's what the Jewish people say today. And so that means that now you can live for another year. That means you'll be living for another year. If your name is removed out of the book of life, that means obviously you die. You'll die this year, or you'll be, or you're dead already. So it is a very sacred time to determine what the rest of your life will be like. And so now that we have this time frame, and the Creator, Yeshua, was our Lamb, it says we did, we confess our sins to him, and he was offered up for our sins. So his blood, so now he sits as our high priest, that priest that will go in every year and cleanse the sanctuary. Now he's that high priest. And the high priest, his role is to intercede between us and the Creator, his Father. And so basically what is happening is that the time will come when he will no longer intercede for us. I mean, time will be up, that's it. And when he leaves as our high priest and interceding for us on the Day of Atonement, that's when it will occur. It will occur on the Day of Atonement. And when it occurs, that means that there's a pronunciation in the book of Revelation. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. So when he leaves, no more sin can be forgiven, because he intercedes and he takes out sin. Once he leaves as that role, then that's the end of it. So basically what happens is that anyone who sins after that, they can never, sin can never be forgiven. And so because their sins can never be forgiven, they'll be lost. So what happens is, in the last days, the way that is dealt with in the last days, basically what happens is that you have your seven seals, you have your seven trumpets, you have your seven plagues, and then Yeshua is supposed to come back to reign for 1,000 years. So the seven trumpets of the book of Revelation is supposed to help us understand the blowing of trumpets. So that calendar. So we know we got like 10 days to prepare. And then when the Day of Atonement occurs, when he leaves, by that time the seven seals, the seven plagues, no, the seven seals and the seven trumpets, or part of the seven seals, the trumpets and the seven trumpets would have blown. So people had adequate warning. And then when he leaves in Revelation 15, it makes mention that then no one can stand in between. So only after the seven trumpets can the 144,000 be the only ones that will be left on the earth that's following Yahweh. Everyone else would have been killed. Now, everybody don't like to hear that everybody's going to die. But you have two choices. You die, or you, well, what do you say? Okay, you either die and you don't have your sins forgiven because you're not in 144,000, you're not perfect. Or, as the Bible says, that blessed are they that die in Yahweh, for their works will follow them. So anyone that has not reached perfection will die before then so that they can, you know, be saved. So that's so that 144 is the proof to the world that people of Yahweh, that Yahweh can have thousands of people following him like he did Job, Enoch, and Elijah. And those people have to go through literal hell. So somebody asked me, oh, man, you're going to be in 144. I said, I hope not. I'm not interested in living through hell. Everybody you would have known would be dead. You will have people dying around you every minute. You would have at least maybe one or two asteroids hit the planet. Civilization as we know it today, roads won't be the way it is. Sewage systems you'll be drinking will mix in with the water. People will be dying from cholera. It will be insanity. Now, anyone who has any sense would not want to be living through all of that, if you ask me. Now, when I was a young yupsod, didn't know nothing. Yeah, I wasn't in 144 then, and I realized what it says. I don't think so. But you don't get to pick and choose anyway. The Creator already picked out who they're going to be. So I ain't got nothing to do with it. If you pick you, you pick you. If you don't, you don't. But, you know, it's not a So the point is that then they have got to get the victory over every obstacle in their life. And the Creator will help them. He'll do it for them. But now it's, life. Okay, so that's what the Day of Atonement is about. That's what it is all about today. Preparing us for the day when he leaves the sanctuary. And there is no, you know, you can't commit sin if you're going to be saved. But there's not going to be many people on the planet anyway, like one-fourth or one-half or three-fourths of the population is dead by the end of the seven trumpets, seven seals, and seven plagues. So then the seven plagues can be poured out because they're the wrath of Yahweh is poured out on the planet. And I don't know what's left. You know, you got the seven seals, the seven trumpets is his vengeance, and the seven plagues is his wrath. And so I don't know who could live after all of that. So the key of the Day of Atonement today is to remind us of these events and to remind us that, you know, what, you know, help us understand what's been going on in our life, what can we do better, what can he do, where's our next goal, rather than getting caught up in materialism, realizing that that's nothing. Keeping up with the Joneses is not cool. Listening to the world and all the things that they got is hogwash. So that we have to feed our spiritual inner being so that the spiritual being can be fed and grow and develop and talk to us and help us, you know, through this journey that we have here on planet Earth. And give us direction, help us find our purpose in life, that we don't get caught up in materialism and when the world has and all of that. Because it's easy to get caught up in that. Because that's all the menu they give us. So that's why the Day of Atonement is so important. It's just a time of reflection, rethinking, planning. And that's why it's the day of fasting, so that your mind can be clear of what is going to transpire in the future and where are we in time. And what do you have me here on the planet for? Really trying to understand your purpose and trying to follow. So does that make sense?
Yes. Sorry, I muted myself, but yes. Mm-hmm. So then you fast every day of Atonement, you fast everyone?
What's that?
So you fast every day of Atonement.
Yeah, I do the 21-day cleanse for each of the feast days. So there's three sets of feast days. One for the spring, which is what we call Passover, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread and all of that, then Pentecost, and then the last one is this one. And so what I try to do is I try to start on the first, the blowing of trumpets to start it, and then go for 21 days. And the Day of Atonement is the 10th day, so that's fine. I'm deep into it by then. And my point is, the point I'm doing these things for is for when we was in college, Joyce, your mom, all of us, we would do that, and Sister Charlene, we would do that all before our exams and our finals and our midterms. And so with that, we was able to keep a scholarship. You know, your mind was clear. You was able to produce, you know, so that. So I think of this, you know, as a time of testing. This is a test time. What are you going to do? What are you going to spend your time on? What are you going to be spending your life on? So I try to take out that time on the Day of Atonement to think about those different things, pray about it, read about it, study about it, try to get some deeper insight of where and what he's calling me to do and what is left on the planet for us to do. So that's why I do that. Now, my belief is, ain't nobody tell me this, but my belief is that on each of these feast days that he set up in holy days or high days, or whatever you want to call them, that he has special events that he's going to do on those days. And so he gave us a calendar to tell us ahead of time, listen, if you are clear and you understand me and you're connected with me, you'll know what I'm talking about. So you'll be ready, but you only can hear me only if you're ready. If you can't hear me because you're all clogged up eating, drinking, and doing or whatever you want to do, you'll never figure it out. So he sets aside these holy days for us to take out time to think about it. So like on the day of Passover, he died as our Passover lamb. So anybody knew what was going on knew, you know, what he was going on. Then when he rose, it talks about that that's when people rose with him and people. And so that was what they called the, what is the name of that? Feast. That was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The wave sheaf, that's what it was, the wave sheaf. They would wave that before him. And so when he took them to heaven, the people that he rose with them, then they were the first fruits. So that's exactly what it represented on a physical thing. So all of these things are calendar is important days. Like on the day of Pentecost, it says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Holy Spirit was sent down on the people. But there was 120 people in the upper room praying because they were afraid that they were going to die next. They're next in line. They're going to be all crucified. So they were up there praying, and then the Holy Spirit was poured out. Now, just imagine if they were out fishing and so forth. They wouldn't have never got it. So my point is that, hey, he has something special going on these days. And if we could just take out some time on these special days, then he'll share with us what he's trying to do. So, but most people don't believe that, so that's their problem. So that's why I usually do my 21 day so that I can be ready to hear. What sayest thou? So he can like, all right, man, this is what's going down. And I said, okay, got it. And that's what was going down on Pentecost. They were there, and they the ones, the only people that got it. If you wasn't in the upper room and praying with the 120, you didn't get it. So I believe that on the day, the blowing of trumpets, that's when the seven trumpets are going to start. I believe on the Day of Atonement is the day when he's going to leave. And so I want to know when he's trying to leave what's going down. See, I want to know when the trumpets start falling. I want to know when that happens. And the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that means sin out of your life. And that means, you know, he's removing sin. So, you know, you're perfected. So I want to know when he's going to perfect the 144,000, or when he's going to be going through all of this stuff. So all of these are outlined by the Creator to tell us the future. But if you're not connected to it, you ain't going to know what the future is anyway. And personally, you're not even going to care. So, but those that are, you know, trying to figure it out, he gave us a calendar that lays out everything for us before it happens. But he says, all you got to do is just be connected with me at that time. So what do y'all think about that? That's my theory.
Well, I think it sounds easy enough to be connected. Especially if it's a time frame, I think that's really nice. So, I mean, but again, you don't know the time frame unless you're connected all the time. So.
What? Try that again.
I said it's good because at least it's a time frame. But you wouldn't know the time frame unless you're connected. You won't even get the beginning startup. You won't know any of that because you won't, you know, unless you're connected.
Yes, that is correct. So, yeah, so that's why I do what I do. And some people think I'm crazy, but who cares what people think? So, yep. So, yeah, so that's what I'm doing today. I'm juicing some oranges, juice orange juice, and I'll have some watermelon and grapes, juice that, and maybe some, oh, yeah, and I got some, coconut. So I got me a young coconut, cut it open, pull the water out, make that into a smoothie with my other fruits and stuff. I got strawberries and blueberries I picked up, and blackberries.
Wait, you're throwing out coconut water?
What?
You said you're throwing out coconut water.
I said I'm going to cut the young coconut, ripe young coconut open, pour out the water, use that as my liquid for my smoothie.
Oh, I'm sorry. All I heard was throw out my water. I'm like, you're going to waste coconut water? All right, good. Yes. Coconut water is fantastic. And if you're wasting it, you don't know what you're missing. But obviously you know what you're missing, so you're not missing it. About
well, remember,
to say, goodness.
Remember, that's the purest water on the earth.
Well, exactly. So I'm like, what are you doing? That's all right, that's cool. Yeah, that sounds good, Dad.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and I'll take the
coconut. I tell you, I make smoothies every morning for breakfast, so I don't eat breakfast. I drink smoothies for breakfast.
And what are your smoothies? What type of smoothies are you doing?
Well, my base is always pineapple juice, and then I put in bananas, strawberries, and then sometimes I'll do like different mixed fruits, and then I'll have mangoes in there and peaches. Yeah, that's normally it. I don't really like blackberries and blueberries, but they have little seeds in them, so I don't really do all that. Or raspberries, but those little seeds get to me. I have a part, so I don't do any of those. It's always like a reddish one, you know.
Now, you guys should try watermelon and grapes. That is the joint.
Watermelon out of season now?
I mean, you know.
I went to Sam's looking for a watermelon, and I couldn't find one.
Oh, okay. Good.
But,
oh,
yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So, yeah, so we've tried it, mm-hmm, and it works. It's good. It's a good combination.
Did you take out all the seeds?
Well, it depends on if you got a seeded or seedless watermelon or a seeded or seedless grape.
Do they even make seeded watermelon anymore with the black seeds?
Yeah, they do.
I feel like I haven't seen those in a long time.
They don't like selling them because they said they don't sell as much.
Yeah, I was talking to my friend about that. But the ones that are seedless are genetically modified, so I'd rather eat one with seeds in it.
Yep, that's cool. There you go. And they're bigger anyway.
Exactly, so yeah, bigger. They're much bigger. Bigger and longer.
Mm-hmm. And you get more out of it. Yep, that's the way
mm-hmm.
it goes. So, yeah, so what do y'all think about this Day of Atonement and these calendars that we have? Now, you know, the Bible says that, you know, that the church or the mother and her harlot would change time and Lord. And the only time that Yahweh has given us is his calendar. So they changed the calendar. And what laws did he give? All the holy days. Now, you know what we call holidays are what?
Holidays.
That's
well,
right. So we are worshiping. That's the way it's spelled. I mean, you just place the I with a Y. It was simple as that. So we are worshiping with this calendar. It's called the Gregorian Roman calendar from the Catholic Church. When we follow this thing, we're worshiping, you know, all of their holidays, you know, whatever. And most of them, you know. So anyway, so people who say that they're not religious, well, why are you following these? It says it right there, holy days. We just pronounce it holidays. So you are part of the system. That's why the Bible says, come out of her, my people. So we're in a mess, that is for sure, a big mess. And what are we going to do about it? Individual basis.
Something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have y'all found out what y'all purposes are on the planet is yet?
I don't think so.
So don't you think you should find out?
Well, yeah, but I mean, can't really rush the process of you figuring out what it is that you're here to do. I don't think you could rush it. How long did it take you to figure out what you were supposed to be doing?
Okay, when did I figure that out? So
you're like 21 or something, right?
Thank you. Thank you, my dear. 1976. I was born in 56, so 1976, that's when I became a vegetarian. Yep, and then that's when I searched for, when we graduated from high school, we said in 1974, we're going to search for truth and find, because this is a joke. And so, yeah, by 1980, I already knew what we were going to do, how we were going to raise our kids, where we were going to live, how we were going to do everything.
But
how we
were
going to have John the Baptist
was. That was your purpose, was to raise John the Baptist. Is that what you're saying?
Raise up John the Baptist children and give the message to the world. Yeah. I mean, I got to take up. Remember, 1980, that's when it was. 1980, I was given a dream that showed me that I would pull my people out of Babylon, out of the system. That's my task. Now, make sure y'all get on the elevator when we go, man. Don't be not be on the elevator when it's time to go. That's my job.
I know.
That's all it is. Nothing more. And that's a task by itself, because I got to figure out how to get out. I've got to figure out how to come out of it. But, yep. That's my purpose. Nothing more. Nothing less. So people tell me.
Did the rest of your cousins figure out their purpose? Because it was you, what, Uncle Curtis, Uncle.
Okay. When we met in 1974, Uncle Curtis, myself, and all of our friends, we determined that we were going to find out what truth is, and we were going to follow. So, yes, that's what we had determined in 1974. That's when we was 18 years old, when we graduated. He found it, and then, you know, he got influenced by other people and all of this and all. Everybody gets influenced by all these people out here. That's why they had the Bible study group for so many years, because that was the purpose, to train up this next generation to be something. So, yeah, so that's what our goal is, my dear. Yes, he knew it. But then he got sidetracked. Everybody gets sidetracked.
Do you think you're the only one who found your truth?
No, I think what happened was, no, Aunt Linda was there, Aunt Carolyn. So there was a whole lot of people. There was, I mean, the McKinneys, the James, you know, all of us had found, you know, found out what is truth and what is not. But the problem is, how long do you stay in it? When you got somebody leading it, it's good. You get, you know, you just follow. Then when you get on your own, then what happens? You just start, you know, you start following what everybody else is following, rather than, you know, studying and knowing what is truth for yourself. And so that's where most people are caught up. I mean, everybody likes, and usually they don't have a husband. Usually the women don't have a husband in their lives who's, you know, serious. And so they got to, you know, follow the pastor or whoever else, some other guy. And it just dissipates. Not good. So you get a, if you, so it's very important, my females, if y'all get a guy, if the guy ain't strong to do what's right, when you decide what is right, y'all going to have a problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that's what Aunt Linda said. That's what Aunt Carolyn said. That's what they said, when, you know. So they said, hey, you too, y'all go on. Y'all go on and do what's right. I mean, we can't. So since you guys can't, why don't y'all do that? And that's what they encouraged us down that path, to, you know, and that was good. So be very careful. It might look good on the outside, but how deep is it on the inside? Any other comments, questions, thoughts?
No.
No, I don't think so, but I definitely do agree. It's important who you link up with. This is true.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Hey, too many strong men out here. And strong women, because they got to, you know, they got to both want to do it. And it is not the way that everybody wants to go. So, yep, that's where we find ourselves. All right, who wants to offer up a word of prayer to close it out? And everybody will be, I'll see you guys in another 30 minutes on the webinar.
I'll concur. All right, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the time of fellowship and all some new things. Please bless us all as we go all separate ways to come back and then go all separate ways to complete our day and fulfill all the missions that we have set forth for today. Protect us and unite us again. We pray, amen.
Amen.
All right, y'all.